Welcome to Ink in Your Veins. I'm your host, Rachel Herron. In this podcast, I talk to authors about the best things they've learned about writing so we can try those things too. I'll keep each episode short so you can get back to writing. Well, hello, writers. Welcome to episode, I have no idea, on my podcast, which is now named Ink in Your Veins, but I can barely remember how to say that because the Kickstarter is live. The Kickstarter that I've been talking about for eons. The Kickstarter that was harder. It was both harder than I thought it would be and equally as hard as I thought it would be because I thought it would be difficult. And it was. It's live. Oh my God, rachelherron.com/unstuck, or you can just Google Rachel Unstuck or Rachel Kickstarter Unstuck. It comes right up. I checked. And guess what? Guess what? It funded. It funded in, I think, 2 hours. I set a very low target. I set a $2,000 US target, which now feels low. When I said it, I did not think it was a low target. It is now, at, I think it's $9,160. And it's 2 days later, and I'm so excited about it and also quite freaked out. And I'll just tell you a little bit about it, and then we're going to get into the special part of the show. But I did have this terror-stricken moment when I was about to push launch. Again, this Kickstarter has been so close to being launched for a long time. And when I was about to hit it, I had a thought go through my mind. Is this in New Zealand dollars or US dollars? I thought it was in US dollars, but if it's in New Zealand dollars, boy, are we in for trouble. And so that not only delayed me for about a day and a half as I was communicating back and forth to Kickstarter, who wouldn't quite answer it. Interestingly enough, and there's no place on your dashboard to go look that up. You just have to remember how you registered it, and you won't know for sure until you push live. No pressure. They eventually were able to get a manager on it and look and see. Yes, it was in US dollars, so I wasn't going to immediately start losing money. But while I was doing that, I was in just a low level freak out. But here's what happened. After I pushed play, I pushed send, I calmed down. I have been in a relative state of calm. As people started to back it, I did panic a little bit. I had to go on a walk out of the house. I walked around and around and around. And my darling friend and assistant Ed was texting me with updates. And I finally had to say, please don't text me because I am going to die. I'm just going to like lie down here in the gutter and die because I was freaking out. And his love language is showing this gorgeous rise that you are doing. That's what he does for people that he cares about. He says, here's how you are amazing. And when people tell me in any way that I'm amazing, I tend to just implode. I just go into a little piece of dust that is imploded and there's nothing of Rachel left. So, but the next morning I woke up, I didn't look at the amount. I wanted to kind of put it off. I meditated. I did my yoga stretch exercise stuff. And when I looked, I think at that point it was like at $6,000. And I just felt so grateful and so calm. And it kind of remains that way. There's a lot of promotion that I want to do. And there is promotion that I want to show like people that I'm doing. I work with writers. I have a bunch of students that I adore. And instead of my typical, oh, I don't know how to market anything answer that I often give, because I truly feel that I do not. None of us, well, some of us are pretty good at it. I am not. I'm not great at it. But I do know more than I did when I started this gig. What was that? 2006, 18 years ago. So I might as well show that. I might as well do that. I've got a list of plans. I'm sending emails. I'm sending Patreon things. I'm sending updates to the backers at Kickstarter. I'm doing TikToks. I'm doing Instagram, I'm doing Facebook. I'm not paying to boost anything. I'm not paying to advertise anything. But even while I'm saying these things, I feel pretty calm. This Kickstarter is going to do what it's going to do. And I just want to let it run all over the field. It's a toddler. It's just going to run. I was recently downtown Wellington by the farmer's market at the harbor. And there's this enormous field. And there was nobody on it. There was nobody around this field. There were maybe some people far, far away. It was, you know, the size of a couple of football fields. And in the middle of this field, there was a baby running. It couldn't have been more than 13 months old, 14 months old, and a precocious walker runner. And they were just, he or she or they were just running across the field completely alone. And it was a beautiful moment. And then I watched long enough to see an adult at a periphery say, "Oh, there's my baby over there." But it just looked so fun. It looked so fun. This kid just, it must have looked like the universe to this kid, right? They could have run forever and never come to the end of that grass. And I feel like that's what this Kickstarter is doing. It's doing its own thing. And I will attend it and hold it up and add stretch goals, which I just did. I assumed I would add stretch goals. I didn't know I'd have to do it so soon. I believe you're supposed to think about that when you're still building it. But I vaguely thought about it, but I didn't build it until they came. And then they came. So my stretch goals are, if it hits $10,000, I'm going to hire hopefully my favorite New Zealand / Wellington artist to do a family portrait of me and Lala and Junebug, and that will go in all the books. And the second stretch goal is for $15,000, which I can't even say, but that's so weird to say out loud, but it would be a bonus epilogue for the book. And for $20,000 ridiculous dollars, I will record a version of California Stars, which is actually in the book. It's a beautiful, beautiful Woody Guthrie tune that Billy Bragg and Wilco did a gorgeous cover of, and me and my sisters love to sing it. And I'll do a version of that and release the MP3. So those are the stretch goals that I just sent out to people. But I got to tell you, stretch goals are weird. Stretch goals make me feel funny. You announce your stretch goals to the people who have already supported you. I don't want them to go in and give me more money to get a stretch goal made. I guess what a stretch goal does is it allows people who go to the page for the first time to see that, yes, this person hit their goal, but they have new goals and they can help with that. But it still feels weird, but exciting, exciting. I'm pretty close to that family portrait one, which would be so cool. So anyway, I'm ridiculously excited about it. And here's one thing that I am doing that you will benefit from. I am putting out a bunch of little short mini episodes talking to people that I really admire about a time that they were unstuck. No, that's wrong. my brain is spinning. A time that they were stuck and how they got unstuck. Or if they're still stuck, how are they thinking about getting unstuck? Because we all become stuck in our lives, and getting unstuck is what the Kickstarter, my book, Unstuck, is all about. So today, I thought we would kick it off with Sasha Black. You know Sasha. You love Sasha. And this story is beautiful. So please stick around for this. If you'd like to hear more about getting unstuck, please go to rachelherron.com/unstuck and back the Kickstarter. I'd really appreciate it. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. And here we go with Sasha. Well, hello, Sasha Black.
Well, hello, darling.
Listeners of this podcast know who you are, but would you please give us a tiny little bio about yourself and where you are today?
I am Sasha Black. I'm also Ruby Rowe. So Sasha Black is the host of the Rebel Author podcast and the author of nonfiction writing craft books with a whole lot of snark and a lot of naughty words in them, where I try and make learning fun. And Ruby Rowe is the very naughty author of lots of spicy lesbian fantasy romance. And I would say that's just about enough for me.
I think that is perfect. Okay, so I have this book coming out from Kickstarter that I'm so excited about. Everyone can go view it, see it, click on it at rachelherron.com/unstuck. I'm sure you've heard about it before now, but I would love to talk to you, please, about a time you came unstuck. Perhaps a time you felt trapped, but you didn't fall into the trap. You walked into it, you put your leg in it, you closed the trap around it, and then you locked it and you threw the key into the bushes.
It's like my rock bottom moment, I would say. So I took a job knowingly in a conservative local government, which I think if I had been even a modicum more self-aware, I would not have done. But I wasn't, and I was thinking about the right now, rather than thinking about the long term. I was thinking about the fact that I wanted more money, and I knew that it had good job prospects, and it was the type of job that I was supposed to do, in air quotes. So I took it and I embraced it, and I knew, I would say, within 6 to 8 weeks that it was a big mistake.
Oh, you knew
And
early.
oh, yeah, super early. By 6 months, I was feeling what I would say was early forms of clinical depression.
Wow.
And there wasn't a lot. No, that's not true. I could have walked away at that point, but I didn't. I stepped further into the trap because I got told that I was going to go through the menopause before I was 30, and that I basically had 18 months. I was 25, and I had to choose whether or not I was going to have children or not. And at the time, I didn't want children. I very much was the sort of career woman, was never planning on having children. But then when you're faced with that decision, you don't always make the decision that you think you're going to make. And I was like, okay, well, let's try and get pregnant. So then we got pregnant on the second go, completely naturally, like with no drugs. When I say naturally, obviously not naturally because I'm a lesbian,
Unnaturally,
but
but yes.
as naturally as you can with a le as a lesbian couple.
I didn't know that. I
And
assumed it was like tons of IVF, et cetera.
no,
Oh,
literally
wow.
insemination, no drugs even with this
I've never
insemination.
even known somebody who could do that. Wow.
Right, well,
Great.
exactly, on my second attempt. So we were like, oh, and then the doctors were like, oh, we've made a mistake. You're probably fine. Still not gone through the menopause, I would like to add. Not even
That's
perimenopausal.
rude.
Oh God, it was a whole thing. But so the trap that I walked into was we were then stuck in a difficult position where, okay, we didn't pay for IVF, but we still paid an awful lot of money to get pregnant. And so we didn't have a lot of money, and we needed to move house because we lived in a mezzanine where there were no walls and no extra bedrooms. So I took a property owned by my employer, which was for key
Holy
worker staff.
crap.
Yes. And I walked into that knowing I was trapping myself. And because not only was I trapping myself, we got lower rent, which then, so I put myself in this, basically, we were fucked. And it was very hard to get out of that situation. So that was the trap that I walked myself into and then walked further into. So 8 years I
I
spent
was going to
there.
say, how long? So 8 years.
8 years.
And what was the moment, if you had one, that you knew, nope, I am going to chew my way out if I have to?
I get goosebumps every time I talk about this, and I spoke about this in the Vegas presentation. But it was December, it was raining, and I had cried every single day for 6 weeks. And I phoned my dad, and I'd walked outside in the rain, and we had like this. There were like two trees that had grown very close together and created like a little hole in the middle. And I like snuck my way into the trees to kind of get out of the rain. And I just sat on the floor and I sobbed down the phone to him. And I knew that moment was so visceral for me. I can still hear the rain. I can still, smell like the petrichor. And, it's so visceral. And I knew that there was nobody it couldn't get worse than this. I wouldn't allow it to get worse than that. And that was the moment that I think that I told the universe I was done. And it still took me like 3 years, I think, to get out.
Thank you for saying that. These are not instant turnarounds.
No.
You are now a best-selling six-figure author,
Oh my God.
just relatively recent, but you've been writing for 10 years. It took you
Yeah.
3 hours to 3 hours. That's what we would like. It took you 3 years to get out of that job. And I'm sure you had many a crisis of faith on
Yeah.
your way out. I know when I was always getting, it always comes down to fear. Am I doing the right thing? Especially, am I doing the right thing for my family? And
Yeah, and when I left, I halved my income.
yeah.
So I quit my job to halve my income, only to, go more than
Yeah.
many exit now.
Yeah. So, okay, then I would love to know finally, what would you say to the person who, for all good intentions, we don't do these things with bad intentions, with all good intentions, has gotten themselves trapped and desperately want to get out. What is the advice you would give?
That you are enough already. Everything that you are is enough to get you out.
Okay, that's going to make me cry.
I know, because the thing is, like, that's what I needed to hear back then. Like, I wish I could go back and tell that person that I forgive them and that they made the best choice they could in the moment. And that, like, I still love them for that choice. And that it's okay because we're okay because we can fight through anything and everything.
Do you think that when
And
you crawled into that tree, which is an incredible image, like I, and let's go woo-woo for just a second, that you that is right now is telling that person?
I think that's how we heal, right?
Yeah.
We have to go back and do those, not feel like visualizations almost, but like we have to remember and re-experience and rewrite our own history. That is how we heal. That is how we forgive ourselves because we did do the best that we are. That is all any of us are doing is just the best that we can in
Always,
the moment.
always.
And like holding on to the pain or regrets in that moment doesn't help you in the now. And like that is what therapy is for. And that is what, coaching is for. But it really hurts. And I could not have forgiven myself, I think, even 2 years ago. So yeah, but knowing that you are enough, that even if you are stuck right now, you have all of the skills and you have all of the strength to get out.
No matter what,
No
even if it
matter what.
takes longer than we want.
Longer than we want. But this is the power of a decision, right? That's what that moment was for me. It wasn't even like a knowing or anything. It was a decision. I decided that I was going to get out or I would die trying. That is how determined, and I know that sounds dramatic, but that is genuinely the depth of the decision that I made in that moment. And so once I had made that decision that was so black and white, it was already over. Like I was already out. And knowing that I would never ever quit trying to get out was what kept me going. Like that little shred of decision making and that little shred of like reality that this was it, I was getting out. Well, then you're already out. It's just a matter of time.
That was the first action. The making of the decision was the first action that you took that had to be followed by a lot of other actions that you worked your way to. But that was the very first action that the top of those dominoes that has you sitting full time in your office, changing lives and changing your own and taking care of your family.
Holy moly.
That is unstuck, my friend. Thank you so much for telling us your story. I really,
Oh,
really
thank you for
appreciate it. And
having me
thank you for doing it
on.
on the spur of the moment. When I said, you want to hit record? And Sasha said, yes. Thank you. I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of Ink in Your Veins. You can reach me at my website, rachelherron.com, and you can also support me at patreon.com/Rachel, R-A-C-H-A-E-L, where I have all sorts of great stuff for writers for as little as $1 a month. And do sign up for my free writer's email list of encouragement at rachelherron.com/write. Now, get to writing, my friends.